You're listening to Michelle.
You're listening to Eat My Brunch on Phoenix FM.
I love local radio because it's radio. And it's local.
And it's coming up to guest time, 11:30. And I should be joined on Zoom by Rogue FX, whose latest release, Drifting, I've been playing out on my show over the last week or two. And a really good track it is as well. He's also got his EP, The Fifth Step, which is out now. And it's receiving some great reviews. So are you there?
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now, whereabouts in the UK are you?
I'm in Durham, and yeah, I've been getting a lot of plays on Rob's show on Phoenix FM.
Oh, we love Rob Harvey. He's good. Rob Harvey does an amazing
show. Yeah, Rob Harvey. Yeah, so that came across your show as well. I've been switching Vernon off quite often to listen to you, Michelle.
Well, I think he gets slightly more money than me, only just slightly. But nevertheless, a good show. So let's go back to the start. What is your earliest music memory?
Oh, I mean, I've always been really into music. Earliest memories, probably going back, I don't know, maybe it's about 1979, listening to, my dad's mixtapes in the cars and stuff like, I don't know, Roxy Music, ABBA, Blondie, all that kind of stuff. And so all that kind of thing. And I started getting into making music when I was at school, had a few bands there and did a lot in the 90s, but then just stopped, just gave it all up and until last year.
So what made you just stop? Was it just life and things, life getting in the way?
I think, yeah, it was mainly life. It was kind of starting to settle down a little bit at that point. We never kind of broke up. We just kind of stopped doing the music. We never got quite where we wanted to be. We did all right. We had a few records released. But nothing set the world alight. So I think we just kind of drifted away from it.
I think it's a really exciting time for music because the thing of being you can only be 25, if you're over that age, forget about it, doesn't exist anymore because there's people releasing music at any age. And this is why when people, you read things and people say, oh, you can't do this at this age, you can't do that. It was a load of rubbish because you've got supporters of all age groups will love listening to new music. It's a very exciting time that people can just go, actually, I've taken a massive break, I'm going to go back and release more music.
Yeah, it is quite a common thing, I see it a lot, especially in the kind of scene that I'm in, which is, synth pop and all of that. There's a lot of people that took a long time out and then they've just gone back to it. Yeah. So, and with the streaming platforms like Spotify, it does make it a bit easier to get your music out there.
Yeah. And it's all about getting into the ears of people that might not know you. Why should people listen to new music? Because we're all guilty of turning on the old tunes that we like. So why should people listen to new music?
Well, I think it's just always good to mix it up, isn't it? It's greater to, I'm the self. I love the stuff from the 80s. That's what I listen to a lot. But I do like to listen to a lot of new music as well. I think it's just always good to have that. You mix it up. You never know. You're going to get a song that you could like for the next 20 odd years. So always worth doing. Checking out the new music as well. And, I don't know, your show, you've got a lot of the good mix on there of the music. Old, new, independent, mainstream pop. So it's, I think that's just the best way to do it.
Yeah, it's a pity that some of the shows, I know you were talking about Vernon, it's a pity that some of those don't have like every hour two new tracks by unsigned artists.
I know.
And I think the major are missing out on such good music by not doing that. They could have unsigned bands, two songs an hour on the BBC, the big shows, and that's what they should be doing because we pay the license fee as well. So it should be a thing they should have. I think it'd be brilliant.
It'd be brilliant, yeah. I think if there's one thing I could, say about the industry today that's a bad thing, it is a small circle, I would say, of, acts and labels that's monopolizing a lot of it. And that's not like it was in the 80s and 90s when I was around. It was much, you could it was much wider circle, and I think you had more opportunities to get in onto the shows like that, which I don't think is there today. I think it's kind of tied up, which is where, you know, it's so great to have, you know, shows like yourself that do have that opportunity.
Yep, and there's shows like this, stations like this all over the country with some obviously wonderful presenters that do play out a huge amount of songs, as well as, you know, with Rob Harvey. He's got one of the most popular shows here on Phoenix FM, Sin City on a Tuesday. If you're listening, Rob, he does a great show and always plays out some amazing tunes.
Yeah, and the quality is absolutely brilliant. You know, since I got back into it, it really opened my eyes. I couldn't, you know, I was so good, the quality of the unsigned independent. I was thinking, well, why am I not hearing this on the radio? Yeah. So I think it's really good that your shows and other shows like it do that.
So tell us about the songwriting process. How do you start putting a track together?
Well, I think, you know, it does differ. Sometimes it'll be the music and, you know, the vocals, melody, and that will come first later. But I think more often than not, I get an idea for a vocal in my head, and that will quick voice note into the phone, and you know, I'll work a song around that. That's what I've been tend to do more frequently now. And then when it comes to, you know, I just recorded at home, got all you know, all the gear at home and stuff, and I tend to like then do the music first with the vocals in my head, and then put the vocals at the end, and then just make it all a little bit you know, a bit cleaner around it. But yeah, I tend to do the vocals the last, even though I'll probably have them in my head first. I tend to do that right at the end, which I don't know if that's the best way of doing it. Probably isn't. But that's how I tend to do it.
And do you hear the song, the full? Because some musicians, I've never experienced this, but they hear the full song in their head before they actually put it down. Do you ever get that?
I think I often do, yeah. I like that in terms of how I think it should sound. Problem is, it never comes out like that. It very rarely comes out how I've got it in my head. It's normally, you know, different. And quite often I'll change, you know, what I had in the, you know, for a vocal melody, you know, might completely differ. I mean, Drifting, as an example, was completely different until, you know, maybe it's a few days before I went to record it. I had the music and I thought, actually, there's a melody that might work better, and that's where it came from. So, yeah.
I've asked quite a lot of musicians this, and because I like to see what they're going to say. But do you ever get a feeling that songs, because you're a creative, do you ever get a feeling that songs come through you because they're so quick that you don't feel like you've actually written? They're like a bit of a spiritual experience. Do you ever get that?
I think that, I mean, I'm pretty quick at writing songs, you know, in terms of the lyrics. When it comes to the music, I'm getting better, but, you know, when it used to take me a good few weeks to do one song. I'm down to maybe 3 or 4 now, where it was, you know, probably halved it. But the actual lyrics themselves, which probably tells a lot about my lyrics, they come quite quickly usually. And I'll just, you know, I'll get the bare bones of a song, you know, a few hours usually, and then I'll just go back to it and refine it a little bit. But probably not spiritual, but, you know, I think I've always, and even when I did it in the, you know, in the 90s, I've always been able to write lyrics quite quickly. Good lyrics, that's up to question, but lyrics, you know, quite quickly. I know my wife says, you know, your lyrics, they just sound like kind of sound bites that sound good together, but I'm not sure what they mean. But I know what they mean, but it's, you know, hopefully other people do when they listen to it as well.
Now, talking about lyrics, I did actually mention to you off air, because I like to give artists a chance to remember some of their lyrics, because as soon as somebody says, what's your favourite song you've ever written, they go, oh, no, don't ask me that. So, but I did ask you off air, what's the best lyric you think you've ever written?
Well, I think, you know, what I often try to do in my tracks is kind of tell a story. I had a track called Don't Talk to Strangers last year, which is a story of kind of a runaway girl of a big city and, you know, standing on her own 2 feet and don't talk to strangers with a mantra. And that was kind of the starting point for the story song. And I've gone back to that quite a few times. One of them was a song called Filofax, which is it's kind of set in, you know, what they used to be called yuppies in the 80s. Mm. And it's set in that area, that kind of financial greed, if you like. And it's just about a character who will basically do anything at all for money. I based it on a less murderous, you know, Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, Al Pacino's character from Glenn Ross movie, the guy from Die Hard called Ellis, that unfortunately gets shot by the bad guy. But those kind of guys, and it's just around someone that will do anything at all for money. And I think the lyrics I wrote for that really worked in terms of that story. It told it really well. And I know that song, File of Facts, I hear a lot of good feedback on that. And that is quite a lot of people's favourite Rogue FX song. So I'd probably say that File of Facts. I released that, I think it was the end of last year.
Mm. What is life like, before we talk about your EP, what's life like for an independent musician?
Well, it's, I'm not doing live gigs at the moment. Something I'm interested in the future, but it would be difficult at the moment with just being myself, how to actually pull that off. But I think without lives, it's quite difficult, because lives is where you get out there, you can maybe sell some merch. So it's not easy. There's a lot of hard work in terms of promoting, you know, you're doing everything, you're doing all of the music. You're sending it out to all the, you know, radio stations. You're trying to get on Spotify playlists. You're doing all your socials. So it's just a lot of work that goes with it. But you know, I enjoy it. It's worth it. There's a lot of competition. It's a very saturated market because of, you know, it's so easy to get songs out there now. And there's a lot of music out there, so no one can listen to all the music. So it's just trying, like you say, to get music in ears is the thing to do. So it's not easy, but it's I think perseverance pays off. And a lot of things that help with it, like collaborations. I do a lot of collaborations, and that gets you into ears of the artist that you're working with. Yeah. So that's something I'd recommend to any independent artist, you know, collaborate where you can. Mm. I actually did a collaboration with a guy called Dr. Crispy. That's not his real name, but he's an astronaut and a DJ. He's in America. Yeah. And he's been up, it was a couple of years ago, I think it was Virgin or was it the Amazon guy? I'm not sure. That went up to space, and he was on there with Captain Kirk, the actual William Shatner.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
So I worked with him on a song, and that's because he was bigger than me. It opened up my kind of song to a lot of ears, and that's probably my most streamed track.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Actually, I think I've met so many musicians, obviously because I do the radio show. And it is about networking with other musicians, because I think years ago it had been a bit competitive, but now it's like people go, I really like your track, or do you want to work with me, or you do this and I've got similar followers or more followers or whatever. And it's just great to collaborate with people, and you can do that on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you know, wherever.
Exactly, yeah.
Wherever. It's good.
People are really open to that. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Now let's talk about the EP, The Fifth Step. Tell us about it.
Right, well, the EP actually goes back a long way in terms of my I almost had it released in a very different form in the early 90s. I was on a record label that was owned by Dangerous Dave Pierce, of all people, now the DJ, but it unfortunately went out of business before it got released. It was signed to it, and the song from that, The Fifth Step, is actually what I used as the whole idea for the EP. So obviously changed it a lot, but a lot of the riffs were still there. And it's a sci-fi inspired EP that tells the story set in 2033. I'll do this quickly, but set in 2033, but it could be set this year, really. It's of a pandemic society. You're in total lockdown, internationally, can't go anywhere. And And basically, these companies, organizations have sprung up called who sell mind trips. And these mind trips are basically virtual reality holidays, if you like. But they can be dangerous. And the track, basically, the EP, the four tracks on the EP tell the story of one character who's, you know, a bit of a ex-con who does this, goes through the journey, and by the end he's got some kind of redemption and a way of, you know, a different life that he's going to lead when he comes out of it.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. I've got little sections between the tracks where I've got these other artists doing voiceovers, telling the story a little bit of the EP between the tracks. And yeah, so just the story arc over four songs.
And that is out now, and that's on, have you got physical copies or is this all digital?
It's all digital. I might do some small runs, you know, cassettes are like, or CDs later in the year, but at the moment it's all digital. You can get it on Bandcamp, you can get it on Spotify, Apple, you know, Amazon, all of those places. So, you know, anyone, I appreciate anyone checking it out. It's, you know, I'm quite proud of it, but the more people that listen to it, the better.
Yeah, and with artists, if you can listen on Spotify or Apple, that is fantastic. Bandcamp is really good because you can actually pay for the track. Sometimes they're like 79 pence, 99 pence, or you can give what you like. Depends on what the artist set up, but that makes a huge amount of difference to somebody who's independent because the money can go back into future recording or future promotion. But it's also good to have a listen on the Spotify. But remember that artists earn zero. Even if you've got like 5,000, 10,000 plays, which sounds amazing. You think, oh, you must get, you, I think you get about 3 pence. So
it's just very small.
You know,
it's very small indeed. Yeah. I'll not be giving up my day job anytime soon.
No, but even when you get up to like a couple hundred thousand, you're still thinking, yeah. And it, I don't know, probably about 10 quid or something, if that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's really small.
So it's great to have those numbers, but the best way is to either go straight to the artist or to Bandcamp. And the reason that artists, as I said before, they release CDs and cassettes. People don't normally have those anymore, or vinyl. Some people do, but the thing is you're supporting the artist by doing that. So it's always, if you like something, then just have a look, because for a cup of coffee, it's less than a cup of coffee to buy a track.
Yeah.
And it means so much to an artist.
Oh, whenever that little ka-ching email comes through from Bandcamp, I'm like, yes. You know, it's the best feeling. Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether somebody's paid 79 pence, 99 pence, or they've given you like £10. You go, oh, and I immediately get on there, reply back and go, oh, it's lovely. You know, it's just great. Yeah. And it's also great when you get feedback, isn't it, from people that are not your friends and family, just complete strangers.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is brilliant. Yeah.
That's the bit. Now we're going to end the interview. It's been great to talk to you. I've been loving playing the track, and I'm going to continue playing it next week as well. The track is called Drifting. So just tell us a little bit about this track. And this is on the EP as well.
Yeah. So Drifting, synth pop kind of track, a little bit of a Euro dance feel to it. It's the track that closes the EP. Came out really well. I was really pleased with it. It was the last track I did for the EP. If I'd done it first, I would have released it first, I think. But yeah, I'm really pleased with it. It's called Drifting. So hope everyone likes it.
Thank you ever so much. It's been great to talk to you, Rogue FX. And if you want to find details, just have a look online, Rogue FX, that's F and then X, and you'll find you everywhere. Socials on Facebook, Instagram, and are you on TikTok?
I am on TikTok, yes, as well. Yeah.
Excellent. He's everywhere. Here we go. This is Rogue FX with Drifting. Thanks a lot, lovely. Take care.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Drifting to new dimensions. In another state, the ultimate realization.